I would like for us to come clean with God today. I want us to see ourselves this morning, not the way the world sees us, not the way our past may see us, not the way our family may see us when they bring up ancient history. Don't you love it when they do that? No, let's not look at it that way. Let's look at ourselves the way our Lord sees us. I love the analogy in the Word of God when it's looked at like the potter. Have you ever noticed a potter when he's working with the clay? And I've seen this before at like a Bible area. It was like a theme park, really, for Christians. And there was a potter there, and he'll take a lump of clay, and he's got a wheel that's spinning, you know, and he'll throw that thing right in the middle of the wheel, and it starts spinning. And then what he does is the potter will wet his hands, and then he'll get into the clay. He gets right in there with the clay. He gets his hands dirty in the clay, but he has the touch to form it into exactly what he wants it to be. The potter has the touch, the ability to create value from worthless clay. And that's what we started out as, worthless clay. You know, in a newspaper on the East Coast, in the classified section, there was a notice and it said this, unknown item for sale. We know it's valuable, we just don't know what it is. If you can identify it, we'll sell it to you for $250. Isn't that interesting? They didn't even know what it was, but they knew that somehow it had value. And they further realized that only someone who knew what it was could place the value on that. You and I have value this morning. And the world may not know what that value is. They don't know what kind of value we have, but that's because only the one who created us really knows what we're worth. It's time to quit listening to what other people say about ourselves. And it's time for us to quit listening to what we say about ourselves. Because that's what I want to try to get through today. The Lord's leading me in this, that we are a value to Him. And that's what counts. Amen? We have been made by God. This worth of which I speak is inseparably tied to the fact that we were made by God. We were not made in China, like everything else. We were not made in the good old USA. We were made by God. Our text today is found in Jeremiah chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, turn there. Jeremiah 1. We're going to look at verses 4 through 8 in Jeremiah. So please turn there if you have your Bible. And as you are turning there, let me say this, that I am looking over a sanctuary filled with beautiful works of art. Everyone an original. Elbow your spouse and say, I told you. You know, you're very original. Everyone is different in here. Everyone is an original. That's the way we need to start thinking of ourselves. God created originals, no copies. So let's see what God has to say to the prophet Jeremiah in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 4. It says this, follow with me. It says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, we thank you that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you, Lord, that it divides and it pierces us, O God. Do that today with it. Pierce us and teach us and help us to learn the value that we truly have is found in you. And we'll give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God made Jeremiah with a purpose in mind. God is no respecter of persons. Did you know that? That's what the Bible says. There's no respect. He loves us the same that he loved Jeremiah. And so, theologically, we can look at this and see that God loves us and he has a plan for us. We have been formed by God. We have been made by God with purpose from God to be used for God. That's why we've been created. Purpose from him to be used for him. It's a cycle. I really like what Rick Warren said. Have you ever read his book, Purpose Driven Life? Rick Warren. I hardly recommend that you read that. Purpose Driven Life. This is what Rick said in the opening chapter of his book. And I quote, he said, "You were made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life will never make sense." That is so true. I wish I would have read that book 40 years ago. It would have really helped me. But the key is that we understand we were made by God and we were made for God. That's why we were made. And until that time, how many know that life can be a mystery? It can be confounding. It can be confusing. Because we don't see things from God's perspective. But once we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the blinders can fall off and we have understanding. And we build on that the longer we stay with the Lord and we understand why we are here. How many people would like to know why you've been created? Yes, yes. We've been created to do something for God, just like he said to Jeremiah. Psalm 139 and 14 says this. It says, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." The psalmist said, "I praise you, Lord, because I am fearfully, I am wonderfully made." We need to get to that point, and there's no reason why we can't. Lord, thank you because I am wonderfully made. Not that there's not things that we'd like to change about ourselves, right? But with time, with the teaching of the Bible, we can come to the point where we can say, "Thank you, Lord, because you made me the way you made me." Can I be transparent with you this morning? If you haven't noticed, I have a big noggin. I have a big old head up here. Big one. When you buy a hat and they say one size fits all. No. Don't believe them for a minute. It's a lie. This I know. But I thank God for the way he's made me. With my cranium, the way it is, my center of gravity raises up. I've got great balance. You got to look at things the way God looks at things. There's a reason, and I thank him for a big old noggin. We are his workmanship. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are a custom build. As we used to say at my old business when we'd build trust, custom houses, we're a custom build. Every one of us is a custom build from the Creator. And you are given things that I am not given by God, and vice versa. You know, we raise children and we tell them what? We tell them, You can grow up to be anything you want to be, don't we? And I understand that, and I understand the principle behind it, but truthfully, that's not really true. God has created us to do certain things. You know what I mean? There's many times in my life, Doug, many times when I was younger, I tried to learn the guitar. Sandy had to suffer through that. And she'll tell you, it didn't work, did it? No. It did not click. I could try to play the guitar until my fingers would bleed, and I could never sound anything like these guys up here. And it finally occurred to me, God didn't drop that in my toolbox, you know. He didn't drop that into me. And I must understand that. But he's using me for something else, right? And even though we may want certain things, we have to realize God has created us for certain things. I like what, and we need to embrace what God has created. We truly do. We need to come to the place where we say, thank you, Lord, for how you've created me. I like what, I ran across a quote from Oliver Cromwell. You may not know him. He was a British Prime Minister, I don't know, 100 and some years ago. And they had commissioned a painter to paint his portrait because he was a big man in England. And the painter came to say, Mr. Cromwell, I want to paint you. And he started painting him better looking than what he truly was. And Mr. Cromwell said, listen, if you're going to do this, I want you to paint me warts and all. That was his famous, probably the most famous thing he ever said, warts and all. We need to realize that God, he develops and he creates us exactly the way he wants us to. God is no respecter of persons. God is telling Jeremiah in our text, as well as us today, I believe that he formed us in the womb, just like Jeremiah. He knew us. He set us apart, just like Jeremiah. And he appointed us to do something for him. In Jeremiah's case, he is appointed as a prophet. But God has plans for our lives too. I love what it says in Ezekiel 18 and 4. It says this, God says, for every living soul belongs to me. We all belong to God. I'm happy about that. I don't want to belong to myself. I don't want to be responsible in that way. I belong to God. We have been bought with a price, and that the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not our own. We are his, warts and all. Well, verse 6 and 7 is a pivotal verse here in our text today. It says, ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. That's what Jeremiah said. I'm only a child. Something's wrong here, God. I know you want me to be your prophet, but I am only a child. And Stephan, I want to use one of your sayings if I can. I want to steal something from you this morning. A lot of times, Stephan and I and others will be talking about things in the Bible, and you know what Stephan will say? Well, this is Stephanology. This is what I'm about to say is Stephanology. His take on it, it's right on. Today, I want to give you some Jeffology, if I can. When Jeremiah is saying, I do not know how to speak, I am only a child. What is he saying? He's saying, Lord, you didn't create me right here. Something's wrong. I'm not able to do what you want me to do. Don't we do that sometimes when we see something for God that is available for us to do? We could walk in that. We could take a step further in our development as his child, but we say this. We say, Lord, I can't do what you want me to do or be what you want me to be. I've messed up too much. I burnt all my bridges, Lord. I've gone too far. Jeremiah was saying, I'm just a child. I'm not qualified to fulfill the plan you have for my life. And Jeffology, I've said the same thing to the Lord many times, many times. I'm a new pastor. I'm getting up there in age, if you haven't noticed. I'm sure you have. I could have tried this years ago. You know? I said, oh, I don't have it, you know. And I don't, but he fills in. And that's what he's telling Jeremiah. I will be with you. We have to realize we're not doing something for God on our own. We're not trying to live this life on our own. He told Jeremiah, I'll be with you. I'll rescue you. Has anybody been rescued by God before? Oh, my goodness. Yes. We're always looking like we're damaged goods. Have you ever done this? If only I could go back and change something. Let me tell you something. God never looks at the past. He looks at what's ahead. When he forgives us, the Bible says he throws our sins as far as the east is from the west. He buries them in the sea of forgetfulness. That's what God does. We play, I coulda, I shoulda, I woulda. We all have regrets. And we let that discount us and disqualify us for what God wants us to do so much. I have a scripture for you today I want you to remember. Because sometimes I think it's true that we can delay God's plans for our lives. We can put it off sometimes. But I have a scripture for you I'm excited about. We don't stop his plan. We may postpone his plan, but we don't stop his plan. Because in Romans 11:29, please try to remember this one. Romans 11:29, it says this, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. God's gifts, what he's given you, the toolbox that you use to live the life Christ wants you to live, his gifts and his call are irrevocable. That means that our Heavenly Father formed you in the womb, just like Jeremiah, it says here. He knew you, just like Jeremiah. He set you apart, just like Jeremiah. And he has appointed you to some task, just like Jeremiah. And that appointment, that call, is still active for you. Just as you look in the mirror and you look totally different than I do and everyone else, God's made you with something, I believe, to do, something to perform, something to be for the kingdom of heaven. And when I was thinking about that, this whole idea this week, I couldn't help but think of Moses. Moses, one of the great men of the Bible. Do you remember what happened when he went to see a bush that wouldn't burn? There was a burning bush, and he went to get close, and it was not consumed, the Bible says. And God spoke to him from the bush. Remember? And he said, Moses, he said, I've got a job for you to do. I want you to go down to Egypt, the most powerful man in all the world, and I want you to tell them that you need to let my people go. Do you remember what Moses said? I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. He said, I can't. I am slow of speech and tongue. Moses, the man, Moses. I always think of Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments, you know. Powerful. Moses said, I think you made a mistake here, God. I can't do that. I can't do what you want me to do. You should know better. And Moses was saying the same thing Jeremiah said, the same thing we say sometimes. Moses was saying, you did not equip me for what you want me to do. Please send somebody else. And I like what God said back to Moses. God told him in Exodus 4 and 11, he says, who gave man his mouth? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Who makes him deaf or mute? Is it not I, the Lord? God was telling Moses, don't tell me who you are. Don't tell me what you can and cannot do. I made you. I made you. Do you feel equipped for God? Equipped for what God wants you to be, wants you to do? Because I'm looking over the whole sanctuary and you are equipped. You just don't know it. We all have those feelings that we can't do it, but as he told Moses, I will be with you. As he told Jeremiah in our text today, I am with you and will rescue you. Now, we can be like Moses and Jeremiah and live our lives like that. And we can have such low self-esteem as we go through life. Our self-esteem can be in the basement by the way we look down through life, feeling like we blew it or we're unworthy. Well, we are unworthy, but God makes us worthy. We're really telling God we can't do what he wants us to do. Verse 7, Jeremiah says to God, I can't do it. God says back, do not say I am only a child. God said, I don't want to hear that. Don't tell me you can't. I want to tell this to someone this morning that God doesn't make junk. He doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't do wrong. God has a plan for you, and he wants you to grow. He wants you to serve him. And I truly believe that he wants a lot of people here today to let themselves off the hook. Some are suffering from low self-esteem here today. And we need to quit looking down because of the past and look up, realizing we are to live the life, but not on our own. God's going to help us. And I know he's helped us as we walk this path with him. But he wants us to help him, help the kingdom do more than what we have so far. We need to have faith that he is good for his promise. He'll never leave us or forsake us, the Bible says. Isn't that a comfort? God will never leave us or forsake us. In Ephesians 2:10 it says, this is a good one too. Ephesians 2:10, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Isn't that beautiful? We are created in Christ Jesus to do the good things, the good works, what God has already prepared in advance for us to do. He has it all worked out. He has it all planned out. All we need to do is walk in him. If the worship team would like to come back, please, for one more song, I'd appreciate that. God wants us to listen to him this morning and trust in his power that he manufactures his people with quality. The Lord tells Jeremiah in verse 7, you must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. That's what he says. I've got something for you to do. You need to go to everyone I tell you to. You need to say what I command you to say. You, not Jeremiah, you need to go to certain people. Do you know that you have inroads with people that no one else does? You have special connections with certain people, maybe because of your unique personality, whatever it may be. You are the person for a certain job in God's world. There was a cheerful little girl with bouncy golden curls. Her name was Jenny. She was almost five. And she was with her mother in the checkout line at the store, and she saw a circle of glistening white pearls in a pink foil box in the checkout line. You know how they have everything in the checkout line. And she wanted those little fake pearls so much. And she said, "Mommy, oh please, Mommy, can I have them?" Quickly, the mother picked up the little box of fake pearls, looked on the bottom side, and saw that they were $2. And she said, "Well, honey, Jenny, I have some work for you to do at home. You know, you can do extra chores, and it's almost your birthday, and Grandma, no doubt, will give you a crisp $1 bill. If you save your money, you can buy these little pearls." And so she said, "Okay." And she did. She did extra chores around the house. She went to the neighbors and helped them pick dandelions. And she did anything it took to save a few more cents to try to get those pearls. Well, her fifth birthday came up, and sure enough, Grandma did come through with a crisp $1 bill. And as she saved a little bit more money, she finally had enough for these little pearls. And she bought the pearls, and she took them home, and oh, she loved the pearls. She wore her little pearls everywhere except taking a bath or swimming, because her mother said that if they got wet, they'd probably turn her little neck green. And she just loved them. And Jenny had a very loving father, and he would come in to read a story to her every night when it was bedtime. And he would stop whatever he was doing and read her a story. One night, when he finished the story, he asked Jenny, he said, "Do you love me?" "Oh, yes, Daddy, I do love you." And her daddy said, "Well, give me your pearls." And Jenny said, "Oh, Daddy, not my pearls. You can have Princess, my little horse with the pink tail. You can have that, but not my pearls." Her dad said, "That's okay, honey. Daddy loves you. Good night." And he kissed her on the cheek as she went to sleep. About a week later, after story time again that night, Daddy said, "Do you love me, Jenny?" "Well, Daddy, you know I love you." And he said, "Well, then give me your pearls." And she said, "Oh, Daddy, not my pearls. You can have my baby doll, the new one I got for my birthday. You can have that. And even the yellow blanket that matches her sleeper." Her dad said, "That's okay, Jenny. Sleep well. God bless you, little one. Daddy loves you." And as always, he kissed her on the cheek, and she went to bed. About a week later, he came in to read her the story that night, and she was sitting Indian style with her legs crossed on her bed, and she was weeping. And her dad said, "What's the matter, Jenny? What's the problem?" And Jenny didn't say anything. She just held out her hand, and she said, "This is for you, Daddy." And she gave him her pearls. Her dad accepted the pearls, reached in his other pocket, and brought out a blue felt box. And inside was a real strand of pearls. He gave her the pearls. And what he was waiting for was her to give up the dime store junk for what she really needed. And I tell you this story today because I believe that so many of us were holding on to everything we think is the best we can have. We're holding on to those things in life that we've become attached to. Somehow we don't think we're good enough for the real thing. And God is saying, I have the genuine article for you. Quit holding on to things that you think is the best you can do. We hold on to things like Jeremiah said, I'm just a child. I don't know what you're talking about, God. I can't do that. But God is saying, just give me what you have. Give me all you have. And I have something better for you. As they sing, I want to invite people to come up to these altars and pray. I want to pray with you. If you need to let go of some things in your life, and you want God to come in and bless you, and you're saying by coming up, I want to trust God with my life more than ever before. I want to let Him come in and give me genuine pearls. I want the real thing. I'm tired of struggling just within myself. And I want God. I'm going to trust Him that He knows who He created. I'm tired of looking down on things, my failures. I'm tired of all that. And I want to come forward. I want to trust God for what He has for me. Please come forward if that is you today. Or if you need a real relationship with Christ. If you've never done that before, come forward because He has the real thing for you. Come forward. Thank you.